And this morning we were concluding our legacy series. And you know, we only get one go around in this life, and most of us want to use our time well while we're here. And I think that's especially true when we think about our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. As followers of Jesus Christ, we want to leave a legacy that enables the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that and so on to love God and serve God in their generation. And the topic of today's message is giving and how we can use our financial resources to leave a legacy that leaves a lasting impact. And at the end of the service, you're going to have opportunity to fill out a card to be a part of the legacy that we're leaving. And that card is a way for you to say yes to what God wants to do in your finances, and a way for the leadership of the church to know what it is that we as a church have to work with in the coming year to make a kingdom impact. And I hope that you'll all listen. I know it's one of those topics where, you know, it's like sometimes we can have a little wall around, but that you'll open your heart and mind, because God loves you. Jesus loves you so, as the song says, and he wants the best for you in all of the areas of your life, and that includes your finances. So there was only one other topic that Jesus talked about more than money in Scripture, and that's the kingdom of God. And he often tied how to use your money to make an impact in the kingdom of God. And Jesus talked about money so often, not because he wanted something from people. I mean, if you think about it, he turned a few loaves of bread into 5,000, enough to feed 5,000. Didn't even have a place to lay his head, so he didn't have a mortgage. He borrowed a donkey to make his trip into Jerusalem. You know, he didn't need money from people. He talked about money often because he wanted something for people. And that's my motive today as well. See, just as the world has an economic system and we have to know how that works in order to prosper in that, how to invest your money, all those kinds of things, God has a spiritual kingdom economic system. And it works differently than the system of the world. And Jesus wanted people to have that information so that they could experience the joy and blessing that God intended for their finances. And if we're going to leave a lasting legacy, we need that information too. So if you were in worship last week, you recognize these signs. I gave this as a visual aid to help us to kind of picture this journey that we're on as followers of Jesus Christ, that we're making a journey from maybe someone who's far away from God or exploring faith in Jesus Christ to becoming fully mature in Jesus Christ, where when people encounter us, they get a sense of what it was to encounter Jesus, his love, his character. We act in the way that Jesus would act. We love the way that Jesus loves. And learning to manage your resources is a way, in a way that's a blessing to you, to others, and to God and his kingdom, is part of Christian maturity. And when you allow God to change you and transform you to become more like him, that change is going to affect every area of your life, including your finances. And in order to leave a lasting legacy, you need to excel in all of life. And Paul, who we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, as somebody who did that, who excelled in and left a legacy, had a great deal to say about how we can do that. And one of the scriptures where he addresses this is in 2 Corinthians 8:7. He says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we've kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." It's almost like he's kind of indicating that that might be something that lags behind the rest of it. And when we bring every area of our life under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we'll move into the next level of living. And Jesus described that as abundant life, a life that creates a legacy. And so today we're going to look at two essentials. I cut it down. It was too long. Two essentials to managing your resources to leave a lasting legacy. So they're there in your message notes. The first is that you'll need to recognize that you are a steward, not the owner of the resources God has given you. You are a steward of your life resources. And, you know, like the word legacy, the word steward is kind of an unused word today. It's one that we use here in the church because we read it in the New Testament quite a bit. And so we're familiar with it, but it's not a word that's used in day-to-day life. But simply put, a steward is someone looking after or managing someone else's resources on that person's behalf and with that person's best interest in mind. And so every person, whether you believe in God or not, is a steward. You have resources that have been given to you. You have a life, you have time, you have gifts, abilities, and everyone has some amount of money. And the question is, are we going to manage that money in a God's best interest, in a way that has God's best interest in mind, or use it for our own purposes? Will you use the things that God has given you, the financial resources, to accumulate stuff, or use it in a way that enables you to leave a lasting legacy? I was reading this past week about our culture's obsession with stuff. And most Americans have more stuff than they know what to do with. It's just kind of overflowing. And one of the growing businesses is storage containers or storage units. And one of the growing problems that has come out of that is abandoned stuff. And so we also have then a growing list of television shows, reality TV shows, that are centered around this accumulation of stuff. So I wrote a list of them down: American Pickers, Auction Hunters, Auction Kings, Buried Treasure, Flea Market Flip, Hoarders, Junk Gypsies, Junkyard Wars, Pawn Stars, Picker Sisters, and Storage Wars. Did you realize there were that many of these reality shows out? Clearly, America has a stewardship problem. As followers of Jesus Christ, we can't take our cues from the world. Thankfully, we can get plenty of guidance in Scripture. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And, you know, this is Thanksgiving Sunday. It's our opportunity this week as we meet with family to really remember where everything comes from and give thanks where it's due. And that's the starting place. To be a good steward, you have to recognize that God is the one who provides everything that you have. He's the owner of it. He's just allowing you to manage it for him. And what he wants is that we use his resources with his best interest in mind. But doing that is a learning process. So the second essential to using your resources to leave a legacy is to take the next step and then the next step toward being a faithful steward. You know, part of Christian maturity, ending up over here, is to be a faithful steward of the resources that you've been given. But often it's a process. It's one faith step at a time. And most of us, you know the story of Zacchaeus, right? He's this wee little man who Jesus surprises by going to his house. And when he has this encounter with Jesus, he has this dramatic turnaround from someone who accumulated, he was a tax collector, to saying to Jesus, "I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor." He skips over the 10%, the tithing thing. He says, "I'm going to give away half of what I have." And you know, most people don't make that kind of faith leap. Most of us arrive at faithful stewardship one step at a time. And we're going to look at some of those this morning. And as we do that, I invite you to kind of think about, where am I on these? And then to think about, Can you move one faith step further in your journey towards maturity in Christ? So the first faith step that we take is to be a first-time giver, right? This is where it starts for everybody. Does anybody remember the first time you put something in the offering plate? Maybe it was in Sunday school, or, you know, if you were totally unchurched and stepped into church the first time and the plate went by you and you dug into your pocket for a dollar or something. Everybody starts here. And you're letting go of something. Giving is always a spiritual thing. You're letting go of something that you could have used for your own benefit, and God sees that. But the next step is to give again and become, at the very least, an occasional giver, okay? And at this stage, you give occasionally. Whenever you're in church, maybe, but sometimes it's, at this level, it's out of compulsion or guilt. You know, they're just, well, there comes the plate again, and I came on Mother's Day with Mom, you know, it's just like, I gotta put something in. And then the next step is to become a regular giver. And, you know, when Forrest and I were first married, we were both Christians, but we were just getting out of college and hadn't ever really had a job, so we didn't have any money to worry about. And so we were figuring out, as a young married couple, how much are we going to give? And so we gave regularly, but we didn't have any kind of plan. And I've told you before what our system was. Forrest would pull out his billfold, and he would pull out a 10 or a 5, and I would point and which one I thought we could afford. Sometimes it was a 10 or a 20. Other weeks it was a 1 or a 5, you know. It was just kind of like, because I paid the bills, I knew what we could afford. And maybe that's where you are right now. At some point, people get to the place where they give regularly. If you're in church, you give, and you may even have a set amount that you're comfortable with every week. Regular givers plan to give. They make sure they have something in their wallet when they come to put in the offering. But the next step is a faith step that goes beyond regular giving, and that is to be a committed giver. You know, each year we have this opportunity to fill out an estimate of giving card. And as I said, there's one in your bulletin today. And one of the faith steps that we take on this journey is to come to the place where you recognize that everything comes from God, and out of love or obedience or both, you want to give back. So whether you fill out a card or not, you come to that place where you say, yes, God, I recognize your word in this. I want to be obedient to it. And so you decide to commit to giving. There's a certain level you're going to commit to. And whether you come to church or not, you make it up the next week because it's not my money. I've committed to giving this to God. Now, if that's where you are, that's wonderful. Many people never make it to that point because they're worried, you know, I really don't want to fill out a card. I don't really want to make a commitment because my refrigerator might, you know, break, or my tires might wear out, or I won't be able to afford soccer shoes for my kids. So they just never make a commitment to God. They just continue with that, I'll give what I can when I get there. And Jesus knew that people would worry about this kind of thing, so he gave some instructions. He said in Matthew 6:31-33, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, so people that are over there, not the people that are in here. Your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. So committed givers have come to the point of maturity in Christ where they trust that God will take care of them. They've moved past the thoughts that occupy somebody who hasn't come to faith yet, and they sometimes give sacrificially in order to fulfill the commitment that they've made. And that's great. There's still room to grow. The next step is to intentionally move towards a tithe. As you study God's word, it's clear in Scripture that God's expectation as kind of the bottom line of obedience is to give back 10% of everything you earn. This is what God sees as an amount that demonstrates faith in him. And unfortunately, most people today are in a financial situation where they can't just jump into tithing. We've just, because of the way our economy is set up. And so I recommend that you have some kind of plan, though, to move towards tithing, whether it's 1% a year, 2%, 3% a year, so that you can take growth and see these step growth in your giving. And so this is something that you have a plan in place. It's not, I'm going to give 10% someday when I can make more or whatever it is. It's a plan that you're strategically taking steps so there will be a day when you can tithe. And that's the next step, is giving a tithe. And, you know, this takes a great deal of faith. I remember where Forrest and I were sitting the day that we decided to tithe for the first time. We were in the back of the church. There was a big column there that supports the church, and I was leaning on it for strength myself. But the sermon was on tithing and giving, and we looked at each other, and he was, instead of pulling out his bills, do we want to check the I'm going to step up to tithing box? And we did that, and God has blessed our finances. We've gone through some pretty big steps. I mean, when I went into ministry, that meant him giving up a job he'd had for 23 years, moving to Kentucky on faith that God would provide, and taking ending up with a $13,000 cut in pay to go down there, plus I gave up my job. And God brought us through that, and then we came up here, and he, you know, I have a church, but he has no job still, and so trusting God to do that, and he provided. Then when he retired, we decided we didn't want him to take his Social Security till he turned 66. So his pay was basically cut in half, and we prayed about it, and I said, I really think God wants us to not cut our tithe, to trust him, to give what we've been giving, because we believe what God is doing in these churches. And we want to support that. And so somehow God miraculously made it help us through that 6 months until he turned 66. And now that he's getting that retirement pay or Social Security, I'm like, how did we make it for 6 months, you know? But God always has taken care of us, so much so that we are able to give beyond a tithe. And that's the next or final step, really, I guess. And, you know, today, if you decide to take that step to begin to tithe, I would invite you to look around you, because you're going to remember this for a very long time. God is faithful. He makes this promise in Malachi 3:10. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. You know, our money is one area where God invites us to test him, to prove that he will take care of you. And I'm not saying there won't be challenges along the way. I knew a couple who decided to tithe, and then like 2 months later, he lost his job. And he had to go. He was a glass, installed glass and stuff. He had to go work for somebody else. But then a couple months later, he had a horrible situation in his health that they needed health insurance that he didn't have when he was working for himself. And he did have now that he had begun working for somebody else. And so it seemed awful that, you know, where we started tithing and now we've had to give up our business, and yet God was working. He was taking care of them. And so as you walk with God, there may be challenges, but he'll always take care of you. He'll provide. So as you take these steps that we've talked about, I just want to look at them again. as soon as Forrest is done with the door back there. Okay. And just where do you find yourself on there? And are you ready to take a step of faith to move in that direction towards maturity in Christ, being a giver, being obedient to what God asks in his word? And, you know, as I think about this, I think there's four primary factors that influence the size of steps that we're able to take. The first is faith. Do you believe that God will keep his word? Do you trust God to take care of you? The second is vision. Do you recognize that you can leave a legacy, that you can be a part of something bigger than anything you can imagine, just by your giving? And then the third is commitment. Are you really committed to moving to maturity in Jesus Christ in every area of your life? And then the last factor is love. There's a story in the New Testament about a woman who brought a beautiful, expensive alabaster jar full of perfume, and she poured that perfume out on Jesus in an act of love, preparing him for his burial. And you know, it was an extravagant, expensive gift, and some of the people that were there that day, you know, it got them up in arms, and they thought, what a waste. But Jesus saw it much differently. He had this to say to her critics. He said, she's done what she could. And that's what God asked of all of us, that we do what we can. And then he said, and she has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. And I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Do you think she thought 2,000 years later people would be talking about that act of giving? I don't think so. But she let love lead, and she left a legacy that's being remembered thousands of years later. We can leave a legacy as we use our resources for God. So I would just encourage you to pull that estimate and giving card out. I hope I have one. I got the one bulletin that didn't get one. Did anybody's bulletin get one? Okay, that's good. I don't know. Oh, we'll see. You don't need two, do you? See, God provides. One out of one person's abundance, another is provided for. All right, so we're just going to kind of walk through this card this morning. And so, of course, you got to fill out your name and address. And then it says, my current giving is... And then either put it under weekly or monthly. Maybe you give bi-monthly or whatever. You can write that in. And last year there were people that couldn't remember or didn't know what they gave. So just a guesstimation there. And then below that it says, I'm trusting and honoring God as I make a giving estimate for the coming year of. And then that's where you would write in if you're giving X number of dollars weekly or monthly. Or again, under other, bi-monthly, whatever it is. And I want to point out that this is an estimate of giving card, okay? We know that sometimes God blesses and increases, and you may want to give more. Sometimes there's a change in jobs, like I was telling you about earlier. And so if your income changes during the year, nobody's going to come knock on the door and say, hey, you know, you said you were going to give X number of dollars. So... And then there's a line below that that says, I'd like information about online giving. This is one way that people who give online have discovered you can give consistently. Even if you're not in church, you can still give. Now, I know that some of you may want to take this home. Think about it, pray about it, talk with your spouse, especially if your spouse is down working with children or not here today or whatever. But so Forrest has some envelopes with the church address and stamp. If you would like to take this home and pray about it and then mail it, so next week we can make an announcement, that would be fine too. Just see him and get an envelope to mail this back with. All right, let's take a minute and pray before we fill those out. Loving God, I thank you so much for the way that you have provided in the past for this church. and the legacy that others have left for us, so that there was a church here for us and our children, our grandchildren. And we pray that you'll give us the faith, God, to catch the vision of what we can do in our generation so that others can know you and love you too. Give us faith, God, to move towards the fullness that you intend for us in every area of our life, including our finances. And I thank you, God, for the giving of this church, the richness of that, the generosity of it that we've seen in the past. And I pray that you'll help us all to see what you want to do through us right now. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.